My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. These words of Jesus in the Gospel of St. John speak comfort and promise to those who know that life and peace may only be found by abiding in the Savior. Always with Christ is a ministry of Holy Cross Anglican Church. Located in the desert mountains of Alpine in far west Texas, Holy Cross seeks to faithfully serve our Lord and our community by sharing the love of God in Jesus Christ, teaching the doctrine of the apostles, and breaking the bread of life. In this series, Father Damian Grout helps us understand the wisdom of observing the church year and the way it plays an important role in conforming us to the image and likeness of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
During these days of Trinity season, we continue following the readings of the ancient Western Church because we're seeking to be formed by the same pattern that formed our fathers and mothers in the faith. We're seeking union with God, not just in the future. We're seeking this union with our Lord even now. But what hinders this union? What keeps us from loving God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves? It is sin that keeps us from living our life in God. Sin separates us from God. It hinders us from even seeing God as He is. It keeps us from loving our neighbors. So we take up our fight against sin, knowing that this is a battle for our very soul, that everything is at stake. Our fight began in the battle against pride. And last week we took the fight to one of her deadly cohorts, vainglory, and we considered the destruction that comes through ordering our lives after the pursuit of the glory of this present age, this age that is passing away. What happens when we spend our time and energy in seeking the adoration of this world? What happens when we play the power games of this world? Someday as we stand before God, we will see things for what they really are. All this is nothing, vanity of vanity. All our worldly strivings have no eternal value. Today we take up the fight for our souls against the deadly sin of dejection. Dejection? Isn't dejection just feeling a little bit down, a little discouraged? How can this be deadly? Well, we need to understand what dejection is. It's the state of the soul in which we open ourselves up to find reasons for self-pity. It is that gnawing discouragement that robs us of all joy. It is that voice of doubt that causes us to wonder if the grace of God is really sufficient, if the fight against sin is truly worth fighting. Sometimes we think our fight against sin would be so much easier if it were just not for people, that we could be holy if not for our fellow man. There would be no vainglory if no one was in competition against us, that if people would not hurt us, we would never be discouraged. The temptation is to withdraw from others, to pull away, and though at times we need solitude, we are deceiving ourselves if we think we can ever learn to love God apart from learning to love our neighbor. To truly learn to love is to learn to serve someone other than ourselves, to continually pursue that difficult transformation from selfish to servant. Be ye all of one mind, St. Peter says in our epistle, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. The temptation will be to answer evil with evil, or to answer pain by withdrawing and retreating into our own little self-centered world. But the call of God is to love, to have compassion, to be quick with pity, to be courteous. All of this requires us to seek out and form relationships with our fellow human beings. We can see dejection displayed in our gospel lesson from Luke chapter 5. It is very early in the ministry of Jesus, and as our gospel lesson begins, Jesus is on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. Multitudes are pressing in upon him to hear his words and to see his works. As the crowds close in, Jesus looks out to the water and sees two boats sitting there, and their fishermen are cleaning their nets from their previous night's labors. He climbs into the boat of Simon Peter, and he instructs Peter to push out a little from the shore. And there, just off the shore, Jesus begins to preach to the multitudes. When the sermon is done, Jesus instructs Peter to launch out into the deep for a draught, for a great haul of fish. But Peter's tired. He's been fishing all night without catching a thing. They've already cleaned and stowed their nets, and now this Jesus, who is not even a fisherman but a carpenter by trade, has instructed them to launch out into the deep and to drop their nets. Now, whatever Peter might have been thinking, he obeys. He drops his nets, and they are filled beyond capacity. They begin to break under the strain of such a catch, and it takes another crew and another boat to bring the nets in. And when the fish are all loaded, the boats are both in danger of sinking because they are so overloaded. Peter realizes what has just happened. He knows that this is no ordinary carpenter, and he falls down on his knees before Jesus. What will he say? "Depart from me," Peter says, "for I am a sinful man, O Lord." God has miraculously acted for Peter, giving him a wondrous gift and showing him Christ's sovereign power over all things. But all Peter can do is focus on his own unworthiness and weakness, and for a moment he embraces dejection. "Go away" is how he answers the manifestation of God's power and goodness. But Christ tells Peter, "Do not fear," because the same divine power that caused him to bring in the huge catch of fish into his empty boat is the same divine power that will help him draw in an overwhelming catch of men to follow Christ where once there were none. Peter's worn out from the labors of daily life. He's painfully aware that the call of Jesus is far beyond his own capacity. The task he's been given, to become a fisher of men, is so far over his head, he already feels like he's drowning. But he's missed the most important part. Christ will be with him, and that makes all the difference. To become fishers of men, to love and lead our neighbors into the kingdom of God, is part of God's calling for every Christian. But it is always impossible without Christ. On our own, we will find many ways to fail and many reasons for dejection. But in union with our Savior, we are empowered by the Spirit to love and serve people even when it is beyond our ability to do so. Only God's grace will help us to fight the dejection that tempts us to give up on ourselves and others. Yes, it is true that Christ is calling you to a task far beyond anything you could ever do on your own. But he says to you, "Fear not." Over these last weeks, our lessons have been leading us to see our own condition of poverty and sinfulness, but not to keep us there, wallowing in self-pity and dejection, but to show us the sufficiency of Christ, to teach us to put our faith in the power and provision of our Lord, who will never leave us or forsake us, who says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Amen.
Holy Cross Anglican Church is committed to upholding the historic Christian faith of Christ and His apostles through word and sacrament. We are located across from the golf course at 903 Fighting Buck Avenue in Alpine. Join us to worship on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, find us on Facebook at Holy Cross Anglican Church, Alpine, Texas.